Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. And each week on this program, I talk about this ongoing revolution of spirit, how we are evolving and changing the planet and shifting consciousness. And tonight's guest is someone really at the heart of this transformation. I feel she's been a leader for a long time and someone with a vision of what's possible. Tonight I'll be talking to Barbara Marks Hubbard. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I saw you recently in New York with my friends Ron and Victoria. Say hello. And you were starting a huge movement. I mean, it's already in process, but you're taking up, I think you're leading one of the kind of centers of focus, which is this idea of being an agent for conscious evolution, and you're starting a whole program like that. Can you talk about what it really means to be an agent of conscious evolution?
Well, this is exactly what I'm teaching. An agent, you know, it means that you are causal. You're making something happen. And an agent of conscious evolution is really that you're going to make something happen that can deal with the problems and the crises we're facing toward a more positive future in your own life, in the life of your community, your family, and the world. And even deeper, an agent seems to be inspired by a deeper motivation, seems to have a sense of what's emerging, seems to have a passion to express more potential, seems to have a natural hopefulness,
wants to know
what's working, all of that.
Mm-hmm. But that isn't that, I mean, in a sense, isn't that the reason we've all incarnated for those very reasons? I mean, that we all are agents of this evolution, whether we know it or not?
I think that's true, but I'm calling agents of conscious evolution. That means you're, and it's even deeper than just doing good work. See, if you take the larger perspective of our, which we now understand, is that out of nothing at all, for billions of years, there has been rising ever more complex and more intelligent systems, from single cell to animal to human to Buddha and Christ. And now my theme is that crisis that we're facing, if you put yourself in that larger story, you'll see our crisis is pressing us toward innovation, transformation, creativity, and compassion, which potentially is the birth of a more co-creative humanity. And I think, you know, evolution works through crises. It always has for billions of years. So evidently it's not stopping here.
So we really are down to the wire now. I mean, it seems like, could it get any more crucial at this moment, right?
Well, see, the whole issue of timing is very important. We've never seen another planet be able to go through this. You know, we don't know exactly what it takes for a planet to shift from high-tech, overpopulation, pollution, warring species with this degree of power to the next stage of evolution. We actually don't know.
Because we don't know. It's like, it's almost cliche now, but going from the caterpillar to the butterfly. This
exactly.
Is what...
You know, we know a lot about that because we've seen metamorphosis, but of course it's totally amazing. And another image is our crisis is a birth. We've seen so many biological births, but we've never seen a planetary giving birth, planetary system giving birth to its own higher potential. And you know what I think? I think that when we get an intelligent species like Homo sapiens, it was in self-centered consciousness. It reproduced up to maximum. It fought. It won. And then suddenly, about 50 years ago, it woke up and said, "Oh my God, if we do what we thought we were supposed to be doing, which is have a lot of babies, get out there and fight well and win, it will destroy everything."
Mm-hmm.
So that's only about the last 50 years that humanity woke up to the effect of its own actions on its own future.
So But maybe we can take a cue from nature where, you know, for a long time there were single cell organisms that were, their waste product was oxygen. It looked like oxygen was going to poison them. And suddenly there was this spark of instant transformation. There were oxygen breathing organisms out of nowhere. And it seems like it's not the last minute. It's always the absolute last minute that nature creates a shift.
Well, you know, in other species, when they're young, they overpopulate, they pollute, they fight each other, and either they learn cooperation with each other and their environment, or they're extinct. Mm. And so we're not guaranteed here.
Right.
And we're the result of 14 billion years of reproductive success. But there are many, many species before us who are extinct.
Absolutely, and we could possibly go that way. It does seem like right now, what I feel, there's many factors in our favor. I mean, the first is that we've now developed a communication system where we can all be non-local entities. You know, we don't have to be next to each other to have a community, but we have a global community, which, you know, when Marshall McLuhan used that term in the 1960s, nobody knew what he was talking about at all. Now, everyone knows what we are in a global community. I think that's a major factor in our favor. The other thing that I feel is that there seems to be a subtle evolution. There's an awakening of individuals' awareness of what I call it subtle dimensions or subtler feelings of energy, let's say. There's mm-hmm. something shifting in our brains that's making us aware of higher dimensions of reality. I know that's a little abstract, but I really feel that's a part of this awakening of conscious evolution.
Well, I totally agree. And there's no reason to assume that the evolution of humanity stops with us. You know, if you think of Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Homo Neanderthal, Homo sapiens, and Homo sapiens sapiens, we're supposedly the ones who know we know, out of us is coming Homo noeticus, Homo universalis, Homo co-creator. I think a new kind of human consciousness has been emerging for a couple of thousand years, but only now, maybe because of the set of crises and because of the communication system connecting us, that this type is being stimulated, being awakened, like you know, on the kind of programs you do. How many small radio shows and movies and internet shows? I think I'm on, you know, one every other day. Now, they're not CBS Evening News. However, they're out there. And who knows how many people are turning on, just even by this talk.
There's more people watching YouTube in a day. There's more videos uploaded to YouTube in one day than people. I think there's like, 10 million videos uploaded every day, and it's more than people watch mainstream television now. So there is this switch to other ways of knowing, other ways of having our message out there, and the illusion is that it's not happening. But if you look at the groups of awareness that are forming all over the country, we know that there is a change happening.
Well, I totally agree, and I think that this whole idea of agents of conscious evolution is really noticing how many people are turning on about how they can co-create. I don't think that we're making this up, you know?
But in your course, you must go through sort of, can you outline some of the actual specifics that you tune people into in this 9-week course? Barbara's starting a 9-week course on August 9th, and actually there's a link on my website, newrealities.com, and you could just sign up for the course right there that Barbara's starting coming up next week. So, talk about a little bit the sort of outline, the specifics that you'll be going over in the 9 weeks.
Yes, well, I'd love to. It's, you know, first of all, it's a global community, and we're connected with each other. The last course I gave was 36 different countries were connected, and they're communicating with each other. And I start out by saying, what does it take for us to be agents of conscious evolution? And the first thing I think it takes is actually realizing that you are part of a vast and mysterious sacred story of evolution, and that whatever is motivating you from within, inside yourself, is the same process that got us from single cells to multi-cells to animals to humans. It's the same process that got us to jump. And when you said, like, oxygen came in, it was a poison. How did those cells create multicellular organisms? How did they create the biosphere? You know, there was no biosphere. So I'm absolutely sure that the same process that created all of us, created these billions of years, is in us now, creating as us. And in fact, so we tell that story, and then we go into evolutionary spirituality, which is the idea that each person has inside themselves a yearning, a heart's desire to do more, to be more, to give more, to know more. And when you have that, instead of thinking, oh, God, I don't think I can make it, you say, the force of evolution is with me. And that's a really big difference, you know?
Well, actually, it seems like, just seeing you a few weeks ago, it seems like the force of evolution is with you. And you are... the universe is living through you as this being that's recreating itself.
Well, you know what? I'm 81 years old, and I've coined a word particularly for women, although there's a version of this in the men, which I call regenopause. This is when a woman, let's say, after 50, 60, 70, 80, and on, says yes to this deeper urge inside herself to express, to be, you might say, to give birth to her own authentic feminine self. She turns on new vitality, new energy, new creativity. And I have discovered that, I say I'm running ahead of all my diseases. They can't catch up with me. I'm really turned on. And this is, I think, the key here is finding life purpose. Another thing we're teaching in the course is I call it the compass of joy and vocational arousal. Now, vocational arousal is that force inside you. And you might be, like, I was a housewife in Lakeville with 5 children. And I say, vocational arousal struck. It completely, alerted me that something more is coming. And I had to take my children to Washington, D.C. I had to change my life. I did all kinds of unusual things because I got aroused from within. And then when I said, yes, I know, see, I have a particular vocation. Let's call it, I'm a communicator of our potential. Once I started to do it, I started to turn on. I started to be revitalized. So I call myself an evolutionary woman or a co-creative feminine. And co-creative means you've got the creative drive inside you. The same thing that's creating the universe is in you. And when you say yes to it, it doesn't matter what age you are or what sex you are, it turns on as you. And
I just want to get to that critical moment where you say yes to the still small voice that is dormant in so many people. And
yeah,
that's the point of initiation, of contact, where you know you're here for a bigger reason. You know you are here for more than just raising your kids, although that's a brilliant thing, and some people are here for that. But, you know,
yes,
you
knew exactly.
But what was it that made you believe in yourself, have you believed in yourself? What do people need to be aware of to do that, to start to follow that voice?
Well, you know, one of the things is if you're feeling depressed or you're feeling anxious and you have this deeper impulse, instead of thinking you might be neurotic or something's wrong with you, you have to think, ah, that's the evolutionary force within me. That's the impulse of creativity. And then you have to be courageous enough to say, what attracts me? Where am I going that I find attractive? And then you have courage, like I did at that time, is to reach out, to write letters, to read books, to call up. I called up Abraham Maslow, who's a great psychologist, you know, and I said, Dr. Maslow, would you come to lunch? And he came to lunch. This is way back in the 60s. And he said, I'm going to give you my entire list of the good souls, he called them, that became the Human Potential Movement. He said, because you're so attracted to all of this. So I say to everybody, if you feel any impulse inside you, you have to know that is the force of creation. And when you say yes to it, follow the law of attraction. And it's not attraction to what you want to get. It's attraction to what you want to give. And I think that is the deeper secret, you know. It's not the secret that I can get whatever I put my attention on. But the real thing that has made my life so meaningful is that I found what I want to give. And that doesn't mean I don't need to receive, that I don't need to earn an income, that I don't need to do all that. But the real, real joy is expression of your potential.
Yeah,
I think that's true of everyone.
Well, because that movie, The Secret, was all about getting. I heard a great quote that says, life is for giving, not for getting.
Yes, yes. So it's a double entendre on for giving and for getting. That's exactly right.
And so I love what you're saying, because I think when we do find what we're here to give, it brings energy to our body, it brings joy to our spirit. It's our dharma. It's the fulfillment of our incarnate. It makes us happy.
It makes us happy. That's exactly right. And when you get happy, you get healthy. That sounds a little bit trite, but
no. The Chinese said that the highest form of medicine was connecting people to their destiny.
That's right. So I am happy to have, at 81, to have something that I feel I can offer, that when I do it, it activates my compass of joy. That's another phrase with vocational arousal. So let's say on this phone call right now, I actually was ready to, you know, I had to pack and get ready. I'm going away tomorrow, and I thought, oh, I'm not sure where I'm going to get this call. And so that when you called, I wasn't really, you know, that excited about the call.
Okay.
But now, what happened to me is you started to ask really good questions. I'm very happy to be talking with you, and I am no longer tired.
Oh, that's interesting.
You see? And I noticed that energy follows creativity.
Mm.
Just
so
totally follows it.
The more in our flow, in our joy, the more energy that flows through our body. Is that why you're so alive at 80? You're more alive at 81 than most people are at 20. You realize that?
Yes, and here's another thing that starts to happen, is you don't feel age specific. I don't feel like how old or young I am, because your creativity has no age. It really doesn't. I mean, is this old or young to be for conscious evolution?
Well, it's eternal, isn't it?
It's eternal, and also it's ever-evolving.
Mm.
And I think of that we're probably heading to ever longer lifespans if we make it through this crisis. So as we head to ever more longer lives, then either we have to be more creative, or we're just going to die of boredom. So I think we're going to find that longevity and creativity go together. And that if you're not creative, you probably will learn to let ourselves go. You know?
I agree. Because, I mean, William Blake said it's the imagination that is the human being, and that is the essence of our creativity, is our ability to imagine what if.
Right. So on my course, Agents of Conscious Evolution, we go through this impulse within us. We go through the compass of joy, the vocational arousal, and then we go through finding partners and beginning to find deeper, not just my project is, although that's important, but my purpose is. My innate calling is, the reason I'm here on earth is, and I don't care whether you're a wife and mother, if you are a ditch digger, if you are a great technology innovator, the key is this a purpose that gives you energy and creativity and is of service? And I think that I use the word we are pioneering souls right now, because the world itself, in its structures, it is like its political structure, its religious structures, are top-down, old-mode structures, and they're not going to hold. So anybody who starts to find a deeper life purpose becomes an innovator, a leader. And you have to be courageous. You have to be not so much a pioneer as like the ones that came over here in the boats, but like a spiritual, social pioneer like you are.
Well, my whole thing about new realities is, how do we think differently about reality? And it's only by thinking differently will the reality we're in shift. So that's what I'm constantly trying to discover.
I know. Well, you see, you're doing a great job.
Well,
because what you're actually doing is helping people to know more of who they are. And I actually don't think there's anything better you could do.
Well, there's nothing better I would want to do, nothing better that excites me than the power to shift perspectives, expect the unexpected, Heraclitus. Like, Einstein said, only by changing the way we think will we be able to change the world. I mean, there's so many...
Well, you're absolutely right, and so here we are now. Both you and I, see, we're a perfect example of pioneering souls who have a deeper life purpose, who are excited about doing it, who are living through a crisis on planet Earth by giving our gift and giving our best. We are examples of what we're talking about. And, you know, you have to notice when you're a good example.
Well, thank you. But let's just, because we talk about the crisis, let's define the crisis. So when we're really clear about what it is that we have to overcome. Now, how would you define the crisis specifically?
Well, I'm talking at the global scale. It's very obvious that we are in a finite planetary system, and we have begun to overpopulate. One more doubling of the population, we kill all life on Earth. We have begun to pollute, and the whole fossil fuel has become obvious, the carbon dioxide. And we've now seen global warming and climate change coming on us that is an unknown factor. It's probably partly natural and partly caused by human behavior, but we're not stopping the very behavior we know is helping to cause it. And we are stuck in our political... Look at this political system we're stuck in. We're absolutely paralyzed by this oppositional system. And so what I think the crisis is we're in the womb of self-consciousness overgrowing in the earth like a baby. And there are millions of us, like you and me, who are, I'm changing it from just cultural creatives to agents of conscious evolution. It's a deeper meaning. Agents of consciously shifting inside ourselves and inside our families and our world. And I think the key is going to be connectivity of that which is creative.
Connectivity of these agents together, is that what you mean?
Yes. I think we exist in every culture, in every field, in every age, in every color. We're transcultural. But we're the people who feel attracted to what we want to give, to creating something better. Those are the people. And that I think that what we're going to find, just like they could overthrow a dictator in Egypt by connecting on internet and Facebook and Twitter, I think we're going to find that we can connect on cell phones and internet and these social media networks, that we're probably just a very short time frame from the connecting of what's positive, and that's going to shift the system.
Well, I agree, and you know, there's it's hard before you connect. There's so much you have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You have to define your individuality and not succumb to the pressures of the culture that want to keep you enslaved to the old system. And each one of us has to come through that birth canal in a way to awaken to ourselves before we can join forces. And so it's an individual journey, but it's hard. And for people listening out there, you know, there are like-minded people who want the same thing that you do. I mean, don't you find that we're here to encourage those people that might feel like there's no way out for them, yet they know they're different than what they've been given?
I think almost everybody wants to be able to express themselves more fully. And that, you know, I think that we are all, many, many of us, except for the Native Americans and the black people and the prisoners, we are all the children of the discontent of the world, that had the courage, if you can believe it, to come over in the, you know, over on the ships, and then to get here and have nowhere to go and be pioneers with whole families going across the plains and the mountains. Can you believe that? And right. So when we start to complain that it's too hard for us, it isn't.
Right.
It's just that you need models, you need examples, you need encouragement, you need community. And then people are really magnificent. And so one of the reasons I love doing the Agents of Conscious Evolution on the internet is, just like you say, we're non-local. We can be anywhere and be every, I have a word for it, every here.
Right.
Not everywhere. Because, you know, when we're on the phone, we say to people, hello, where are you? I'm here in Australia. I'm here in California. I'm here in, you know, Great Britain. So everybody's here.
Well, that's conscious. That's a great kind of metaphor for consciousness itself, which is non-local, which is the non-local agent.
Right, and so we're becoming non-local through connecting in a non-local medium, which is exactly what you and I are on.
Right, and that is the very definition, because our consciousness is our link. We're sort of right next to each other in consciousness, even though you're on the other side of the country. So,
and you could be closer to me right now than, let's say, a family member who doesn't share this impulse. So
right.
there's a kind of communion of pioneering souls. That it's interesting, because you can meet another pioneering soul, and almost instantly you feel you know each other.
Exactly. And you
Isn't
do.
That true?
And yeah, absolutely. And you do know the other person. You absolutely
you do.
You do.
Yes. So many people who are natural pioneers, naturally wanting to innovate and give their best and whatever circumstances they're in, and we're in all kinds of circumstances, we really need each other.
Yeah. On the other side of that, it reminds me of that Mayor Barber quote, the reason people shout at each other in an argument is because they're so very far away from each other. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. And so when you get close to each other in resonance, it's a nice word, resounding. Echoing back, like you and I are in resonance. So you say something, I can actually feel the vibration of your consciousness, and it activates what I say, and together it vibrates with greater intensity. So going back to the people who feel stuck, it's really very important to, first of all, get on these internet programs. like mine and others as well, because when you do, you don't feel alone. And then we're also suggesting to people how to form evolutionary circles right where you live and how to communicate with each other on the Ning site, which is an internet site where you can tell your story and where you can say what you want to create and other people can join you. So we're using the medium of internet to connect. And then we're beginning to say, what do each of us want to contribute? And we're not going to do that alone either. So it has to do with building community, communion, vision, and helping each other. Hello? Oops. Hello?
Hello, Barbara?
Yes, I lost you for a minute.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You were just saying about, yeah, those, sorry. We just, yes, touch
okay.
And connected, but
yeah, I'm not
ahead.
Sure where I lost you.
Yes. So, no, you were saying the things that we need to do to know that we're in resonance. And it was beautiful what you were saying, is because when you were speaking about being in resonance, rebounding,
oh, yes.
I was feeling that in my body. I was feeling your link in consciousness was actually invigorating my physical structure.
Well, that's exactly what we do with and for each other. And going back to the ACE, Agents of Conscious Evolution teaching, is when you get on the phone like this once a week and then we have bonus calls, what happens is your whole vibrational frequency shifts. And it, almost more than just the content, it's both the context and the vibration. And the context is you know that you're part of a very deep movement of creativity on Earth and even in the universe beyond Earth.
Yes, I think it goes back to that quote, when two or more are gathered, In the name,
exactly.
Vibration, we increase each other.
That's it. Where two or more are gathered in, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. So where two or more are gathered in this vibrational frequency, which really is the God force, you might say, when two or more are gathered in the name of this higher power, there I am. There is the presence of creation.
Yes.
There
yes.
is the expression of God in our midst. And the two or more creates the field. You know the phrase field. It's an invisible a structure that connects you without you having to be physically present. And we're creating a morphogenetic field. An actual form is being created through people like us now.
So it seems like with this awareness that you're creating in people, the new civilization is come into form. It's the universe that we've been told existed, one that was created by accident from a spark of, you know, lightning hitting amino acids and some warm seas creating life, and that the Earth is life on Earth is an accident. It doesn't hold for this new way of thinking where it seems life is an emergent factor of universe itself, and intelligence is an emergent factor in life, and that there's an ongoing increase of a sort of spiritual dimension that all sentient beings are in the process of becoming. And that's very different from the old story that all of us or most of us has been brought up with.
You know, it's really an evolution of spirituality, because almost any great spiritual tradition has some version of this. But usually the individual doesn't feel they're sort of incarnating the force of creation. And I think there is a shift in conscious the evolving humans that's different than the old spirituality, where you might just be going vertically to God, or you might have a master or a teacher or a religion that you just follow. When you become conscious evolutionary, it seems like you, the spirit is inside you as well as beyond you, and it's motivating you. So in the deepest sense, you become spirit in action.
Yeah. And it's also the kind of a release of the old dogmas that kept religions intact, and we are finding that spiritual nature in us, which is, in a sense, beyond the religious forms of the past.
I think the religions were training wheels for the universal co-creative humanity.
Yes.
That's what I think. Because we weren't psychologically, spiritually ready to incorporate the divine. Now, all the great mystics and teachers said this, so it's not like it's new, but what really is new is the consciousness of evolution, is the consciousness we can destroy our life support system or evolve it. So we're waking up to that. I think the great spiritual leaders all had that, but they lived in another age, in another cosmology. They didn't realize it was an evolving universe. None of them. None of them.
So do you think it's a slow evolution, or do you feel maybe 2012, I know you're organizing this Earth birthday on December 22nd, 2012, but do you think this is going to pop, or is it going to be a gradual shift?
Well, I think it's coming to a head, so to speak, because the negative scenario of climate change, global warming, has a time factor built into it. You know, people are saying it can't go on for hundreds of years like this. So it's going to show up that either it's worse and worse, when you get a tsunami and you get a tornado, and if it really continues and builds and builds, it's very disastrous. So I'm not saying that our consciousness alone shifts that. I think our social innovations, our clean energy systems, our conscious business systems, our new healthcare systems, I think we're actually creating a new culture here. Not only a new consciousness, but a new culture. And one of the things I've done over the years is to identify innovations already working. And you begin to see there's an emerging world right now. And that connecting us through media and through communication, and you know, when I ran for vice president in 1984, I suggested there be a peace room as sophisticated as a war room. And war room track enemies and how to defeat them. A peace room tracks innovation and creativity, how to connect and communicate it. Now, that idea, we didn't have the technology to do it in 1984, but we do now. And I'm working with many others to see if we can develop a more substantial communication system of what's connecting and working through Internet.
Are you working with Dennis Kucinich? Because he proposed the idea of a peace room as well.
Well, Dennis Kucinich, yes, he had, of course, the Institute of Peace, but he is a very great supporter of this. And when he ran for president, I was one of his supporters, and I was telling him that I had a vision of the peace room, meaning really a room of the innovations in all fields. And he said, Barbara, we're going to build that next to the Oval Office. And he visualized a circular room with different maps in health, education, economics, energy, of what's working. And he visualized the leaders of the emerging world, of the new world, coming to meet and saying what their strategy, what their needs, what their resources are, what they envision. And we'd have a new world coming together really fast, because you know why? It's already here. Enough to make a shift. Enough. Now, will it happen?
It is already here, but what I keep getting in my feeling being is there's something coming, a benefit, but out of left field, something we have yet to imagine the ineffable, as Terence McKenna would call it, or something beyond our capability of knowing, because we're always moving into the unknown, and the unknown is always surprising us. So what I would love in your course is for you to put out there, if you want, just for people to imagine the most far out thing from left field coming in and lifting us in a new direction. I mean, who could have imagined the internet 30, 40 years ago? Well, there were visionaries, I think, who could have. And I'm just curious of what the people in your course might come up with.
Well, that's a very good idea. And we have a whole lesson on visualizing the next 100 years. And anything goes that you might see. And, you know, imagination creates. So it's not just neutral what you see.
Yeah.
It actually has an effect on reality what you see. So,
and it's
you know, here's a very interesting thing on just that score of the of something radically new. I just read Jose Arguelles' new book called Manifesto for the Noosphere, or the Thinking Layer.
Yeah.
And what he imagines happening around December 21st, 22nd, 2012, is that the Noosphere, which is all this internet, telecommunications, cell phones, and the field of global intelligence it creates, at some point starts to connect so fast that we become telepathic with each other.
Yes,
and when we become telepathic
that.
At a certain level of rapport, you know, or connectivity, we get into telepathic communication with any other planetary system that has created its own noosphere, getting telepathic. So perhaps the contact with other life, it requires us to connect as one living whole and become more telepathic ourselves.
Well, that was what Bruce Lipton put out in my interview with him. He said the only way to make communication with other planetary civilizations is to come into a humanity, and we don't have humanity until we speak with one voice. So our wholeness creates the outreach to connect with other wholenesses, so we start to form the next level of beingness.
That's right. And see, many of us are doing that right now, like you and me. And it's really important to notice when it is happening. And I'm very privileged because I'm teaching on the internet and I'm also on many other people's courses and many interviews like this. I'm in that state a lot of the time. Why? Because I'm talking to you. You know? I didn't feel this way before you called, actually.
No,
I'm
but we
happy
have to
because
keep
I thought I'm ready.
Each
I'm
other.
Packing. I'm going to Tucson tomorrow. I don't want to do this. And look what happened to me. You see, because a certain mystery of resonance.
We're here for each other that way. You know, there's a lots of times people don't want to get out of bed or do this, but we're here for each other. You know, to,
right? That
encourage
really
each
true.
Other.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're here for each other and. The more we connect, just like what we're doing now, this is not something, you know, unheard of. Actually, this is happening all the time. And I have evolutionary eyes. Here's another thing, is that you really need to notice when something's evolving.
And how do you know that?
Don't notice it. I notice it. I'm noticing it right now, and I'm calling this real-time evolution. Uh-huh. See, what we're doing right now, talking together in the noosphere like we are, is affecting evolution. This is not just, ineffective, because we don't even know how this level of vibration could affect reality. We really don't know.
I have to know that it is
affecting my reality anyway.
Well, we just have to know that it is affecting, because your reality then puts the ripple effect into conscious creation.
It does. And so I'm saying to all my students on the Agents of Conscious Evolution, we are the noosphere evolving right now. Like you and I, we are all of this. And we have to take ourselves into account here. Not to say we're so special, but to say this is what evolution is doing through us.
Yes, yes. And that's yeah,
and
when
then
we
when
rise
you notice
out of
that,
our
like I'm noticing it right now with you and me, then you get turned on more. Because
Absolutely. Instead
of this feeling you're alone or maybe it doesn't make any difference or maybe nobody's listening, you know what? The universe is listening.
Exactly.
You know, the universe has good ears because the universe knows. If you think of the non-locality, and they call it quantum entanglement, if
yeah.
we think of the fact that there is a certain degree of simultaneity where at the quantum level there is no traveling, there is no distance, there seems to be an instantaneous connectivity at a level, at the quantum level. I feel we're in the quantum level all the time because that's the level out of which life is coming. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm seeing.
Well, I liked what you said. By noticing the evolution, it actually empowers the evolution. So by noticing what's happening in this conversation and noticing the sort of the new neural nets of creativity and connectivity that are happening inside you that are then generating
yeah.
a field
yes.
of new thought, that is mm-hmm. noticing actually evolution itself. It's becoming conscious of consciousness. And
it is, and then it gets like, it doubles itself. It goes exponential because when consciousness recognizes consciousness, it's not additive. It somehow reaches out into this non-local field and affects everybody who is anywhere near this state of being.
And the other great thing it does, it we rise out of our little dramas, our little
right.
you know, personal story into the big story. And I think that's one of the most important things we can do to get over ourselves.
Well, if you're isolated, it's very hard to do this.
Yeah.
And so one reason that I recommend so deeply that people take this teleseminar is you won't be isolated. You
right.
won't have to
and
be isolated ever again. Because there's so many people, and they stay connected, you see. Mm-hmm. They stay connected.
Right. And I think it's so important to do that, to be... you know, a focus for this, you know, and bring in just the awareness. And in your little promo, it talks about synergy, synchronicity, centrality,
yes.
spontaneity,
yes.
supra-sexuality, self-creation. These are the hallmarks of evolutionary change. I mean,
they are, and I don't know if you've ever seen a picture. It's on my website of this wheel of co-creation. Well, at mm-hmm. the hub of the wheel, which is our turn on the spiral, symbolically is a hub, and I'm calling this hub a center for social revelation. It's a place when you, like just you and I are together in the hub. This is my symbol. The hub of creation is now picking up more of the pattern of creation. So you get to feel more about how you participate in the whole. You're not just going into mental mind to figure it out. Mental mind actually cannot figure this out. It's not that we don't have to be intelligent, we do, but mental mind does not figure this out.
No, it's what Wilbur calls the transrational. We have to keep the rationale without throwing out, but know there's greater ways of knowing that are beyond logical thought. There's a gnosis
it's
that each of us...
It's definitely the transnational. Transrational, not transnational. It's also transrational.
Transrational, beyond the rational.
What did you say?
No, I said, I'm just curious, as we wrap up here, what is the most recent creative thought you've had about this evolutionary process we're in?
I think the most recent one is that there is a new group of humans. I'm calling us conscious agents of conscious evolution, who are everywhere on Earth, and that I feel for the first time I'm literally in a community of that. I think the newest thought for me as I started to prepare for this next Agents of Conscious Evolution training is I started to notice all the people, all the things, all the networks that I'm already part of with other people. And this feeling that I have as a pioneering soul is the community is already here. But you really, because it's not totally local, it's so easy to forget that it's here.
Well,
and
that's why we need to
know it's here.
Well, thank you, Barbara. We just need to keep remembering our non-local reality that we are.
We do, and thank you for cheering me up so much.
I'll have a great trip to Tucson, and I'll see you when you get back to New York, whenever that is. And
okay, all right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Barbara, and thanks. I've been talking to Barbara Marks Hubbard, who's starting a program of being an agent for conscious evolution on August 9th of this year, 2011. And you can go to my website, newrealities.com, and just see at the very top there, I have a banner where with Barbara's picture, and you can see that she is doing an amazing thing here by bringing all this wisdom together and helping people go to the next step together. So thank you again, Barbara Marks Hubbard, for being a guest on New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to say goodbye now.
All right, have a great trip, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening, and if you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net, and check my website, newrealities.com. Thanks again.